100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. Today is Sunday, where all those things that happened during the week, well, they end here. This is the weekly challenge on the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com, or maybe some location on your iPod, or maybe it's on your Stitchers, or some sort of podcatcher, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Google Pluses, the this, the that, the blah, 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 blah. Who gives a crap? The topic of the weekly challenge was spy. We got a whole lot of stories in, so let's go ahead and hear them. Who's first? Mick Bordet from some other Scotland. Some other Scotland.
100 Word Stories, The Spy Prompt. Quick Change by Mick Bordet.
His face has changed, sir. I swear, he was the double of the Majtupan Prakat. Surely, he must be the spy.
Good work, Kell, said the sergeant. Go and prepare a cell while I begin the interrogation.
The deputy left without a word, eager to please. The door had no sooner closed behind him than the prisoner leapt up, slamming into the sergeant, wrestling him to the ground. He relaxed the muscle, and the tiny dagger dropped from his armpit into his hand. Within 30 seconds, the man wearing the sergeant's face walked out of the prison to freedom.
Thank you, Mick, for reminding us that wearing sergeants' faces is the thing of the season. I want one for Christmas. Next up, we have Lizzie. Yeah, she was early this week. Very early. She may have written this before she even knew the topic, and just no, that would be a conspiracy. And we don't indulge in conspiracy theories. We just indulge in conspiracy. Forget the theory. Here's Lizzie.
Sometimes things happen that we hope never did. Sometimes we bury our heads in the sand and pretend it didn't happen. Sometimes others pass judgment on us without knowing the whole story, without even making an effort to. They think they're better than us, purer. However, in the bitter end, they are just as pathetic as anyone else, although in their self-righteousness they are incapable of seeing that, said the private detective who spent his life being a spy of other people's pitiful lives. There's nothing worse than a lie. It digs a gap that will never stop bleeding. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcove.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, I lied, and it's digging a gap that won't stop bleeding. Please, stop. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lizzie. Oh, it won't stop bleeding. Maybe I'm going to quote that all this week. I have had a gap dug that won't stop bleeding. Whisper that in people's ears in the elevator. Speaking of people who are whispering in the elevator, Maggie, she whispered too softly, did not record anything for her story. So, the text is up in the show notes. With all the other stories that were sent, but the ones that weren't recorded, the owls are not what they seem. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Twin Peaks. Do you know what's really weird? You watch these things from the 90s. They're not letterboxed. They're curtained because they're 4x3 or 3x4 or something, 2x4. And you have the curtains on the side, and things are a little muddy because it's standard definition, and you're on this 1080p, so damn, everything looks all mannequined, up-converted stuff. You know what we should do? We should listen to Jeffrey. He's not up converted at all. Jeffrey, take it.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here, recording from the world headquarters of Fisher Broadcasting, since I couldn't get into work today. Anyway, I have three stories for you on the topic of spy. The first story is called The Spying Game. As the 21st century rolled on, governments became increasingly adept at monitoring other governments, along with their own citizens. Electronic communications were only the start. Eventually, monitoring of thoughts became not only possible, but cheap. International summits were pointless, as everyone knew the positions the other countries would take. Most crimes were stopped ahead of time, when equipment detected thoughts of criminal behavior. Those criminals who did manage to commit a crime didn't bother to hire lawyers any longer, as their own thoughts betrayed them. Throughout the world, everyone considered this a golden age. Or so they thought, if they knew what was good for them. My second story is called I Spy. As children, twins Mac and Mark would pass the time on long car trips playing I Spy.
"I spy with my little eye something blue," Mac would say, gazing upward.
"It's the sky," Mark would reply, followed by, "I spy with my little eye something tan."
Mac would respond with,
"The car seats."
No one accused the twins of being geniuses. As adults, both were captured on an espionage mission to North Korea and placed in a sensory deprivation cell. No windows, no furnishings, just walls, a barred door, and a hole in the floor as a toilet.
"I spy with my little eye something gray," said Mac.
"Shut it," said Mark. "It's the wall, just like the last 100 times.
And my third story is called Harriet the Spy. Many people know of Harriet the Spy from the charming children's book by Louise Fitzhugh, or the movie starring Michelle Trachtenberg. Harriet loses her notebook, full of snarky observations about her friends, and her friends retaliate by making her life miserable. She apologizes, and all is forgiven. Cute story, right? Few people know that Harriet was based on a real child, and that the true story was much darker. When her friends found the diary, they ganged up, smothered her, and left her in a shallow grave. Sadly, Fitzhugh's publisher insisted on a cheerier ending. Well, that's it for me this week. I will talk to you next week.
Will you truly talk to us next week? Or will you talk past us to the people that you really want to talk to? Don't go playing with our hearts. Thank you, Jeffrey. Pardon the moment of strangeness. This is what Night Vale will do. This is what Night Vale will do to you. How much time do I have left? That's the great question of all, isn't it? No. How much time do I have left before the next load of laundry? Okay, I've got time to get this one started, so thank you, Jeffrey. And let's move on to John Musico. Yeah, I'm doing laundry. I didn't do it last week. I thought, you know, whatever. Well, Gina's got this week off, so of course she'll sleep for about 3 days and then wake up, and then all my laundry is already done. I'd rather get it done in the morning than hear, "I'm sorry I didn't get to it," in the evening. You know? I need this done. So I'm going to do it myself. I enjoy doing it. It's fun. It gets me up and walking about. I get to bend over a lot. I get to play with strange, viscous liquids that smell really good. You know what else smells good? John Musico.
Haven from the Heathens by John Musico. The toddler's parents kept him in a wooden box. They didn't want him to see the unchristian world he had been born into. Secretly, the toddler picked a hole into the floor of the box. When it was quiet outside, he'd rock back and forth till it tumbled on its side. His only view of the world outside was through the hole he could spy through, examining the world outside. Consequently, the toddler's images in his mind were always encircled in a round, ratty wooden frame. Until that final day when he saw a policeman in a large square frame.
Ooh, square frames are the best. Thank you, John Musico. I got my laundry going in the dryer now. And... that's right. Coffee. Man, that's good stuff. Who's next? Muncie? Okay. What are we again? Robot bats? You know, because that's kind of a December thing. Whenever December rolls around, I think, robot bats. I like to drive to the bayous up there. Allen Park, is it? I'm not sure. It's just the one with all the bats. The bridge with the bats. You know, that one? Although Austin is better known for bats. But we have our bats, too.
Greetings, Mechabats. Munsey here, there, and everywhere, with another story for your ear holes. Put it in and massage it down, because I think you're going to like it. Why I Need Billions of Dollars Worth of Military Funding, by Christopher Monroe. Here's the plan. Step 1. Develop microscopic robots small enough to exist undetectably within the human body. Step 2. Equip and program said robots with the capability to record and broadcast directly from their host's memory, that said recordings can be later retrieved for use. Step 3. Inject the robots into the bone marrow of our agents. Ideally, right where the skeletal structure connects to the brainstem. This way, the nanobots will be near enough the brain to see the world as our agent does, in real time. This, in short, is the principle behind my new Spy Null Fluid project. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. Now, Mechabats, the time has come for me to return from whence I came, but never forget me, as I shall never forget you, and the great opportunity you've given me to use the word whence. Until next week, Mechabats. Until next week.
Should we use whence as a topic, or does that make no sense? I'm not sure. Maybe it'll be the topic of the last one. The last one ever. I've no idea if I'm going to shut this down one day, or if I'm just going to keel over and die. I don't know which is going to happen, but when it happens, make a joyful noise. I was at a funeral on Friday. Great guy. Some good people around him. And then, you know, those kinds. They say that television is like a family. Yes, a family that sometimes keeps a few children in the basement and brings them up only to have their way with them. And they throw garbage over the fences and annoy the neighbors. And they let their pit bulls out. But it's never their fault. Sorry, went a little crazy there. How are you doing? How about I just bring in Julie to cover my tracks? Those are my tracks, Julie. Stand there. Cover them. Cover them.
It's like an ice cream. When you leave it in the sun, time melts like an ice cream.
Hi, you guys. It's Julie. I don't know if this is week 8, week 9, or week 10. I don't know if I'll ever become a golden monkey. I don't know if I want to become a golden monkey. I have golden hair. In any event, this week's entry, of course it's not a story, it's a poem again, but this is a collaborative effort between my friend Silas Scarborough and I. We've always wanted to do something together, but the crazy bastard, he's lived in Greece, he's been in Scotland by way of scooter. Now he's in Texas. Maybe I'll see him this year. In any event, this one's called Spy. I spied on my parents, and they spied on me. Listened to my calls. Read my pink floral diary. I spy on the rich, find out their shame secrets. Spy on the famous, find out their trash. Oh, prurient, self-serving, stalker me, putting food on the table for my family. I spy with my little eye some rumbles in my life that may come out in the wash. My house is dark and cold, clean, but needs repair. Things leak, things fall apart. I tiptoe round my wrecked heart. I am the shoemaker's daughter. Everyone's soul's fixed, but my own. I'm going to let you roll out with my brother Silas. Singing blues or having fun, time melts like an ice cream. Melts right in your hand. If you want to hear more of his stuff, go visit myducksoup.com. Mine is musepalace.wordpress.com. Love you, Silas. Love you, crap. And just remember, time melts like a freaking ice cream.
Time melts like an ice cream. What flavor is your time? What flavor is your time? What flavor is your time? Time melts like an ice cream. I'm writing these down. If I don't write these down, I'm not going to remember them. And then I won't have any ideas for the week. I am running out of ideas. I am running out of ideas. I used to have so many ideas, and then I used them all. Just a few left, and then I get ideas from you. I get ideas from you. Whether you want me to or not. Thank you, Julie. Did you rock with Brother Silas? You should. You know who else you can rock with? Brother Richard. He's the rockingest rock of all. He beats scissors and paper. That's how rocking he is.
Greetings, fellow drabblemongers, and good day to you. It's been a busy week, so I've only got two stories for you, I'm afraid. The first is George chapter 38. Since returning to dry land, George and Emily had made a determined effort to leave the confines of the city. Not an easy task, since they had no idea in which direction to head, and their journey was broken by the frequent need to hide from supposed threats. It was on one of these occasions that George confided in Emily. "I can't help feeling that we're being watched." "We're always being watched," she replied. "Security cameras, CCTV, they're everywhere, spying on us." "It's not that," said George. "I'm convinced there's been somebody following us, ever since we left the river." And my other story this week is called Twitching Curtains. The old woman across the street is always watching the neighbours. There's nothing that goes on she doesn't know about. We gave her the benefit of the doubt. She's lonely, we'd say. Or it's good that somebody's keeping an eye on what's going on. When the mail and newspapers started piling up outside her door, we feared the worst. Sure enough, when we broke in, we found her slumped dead in her chair. We also found the camera feeds, activity logs, and satellite uplink. Turns out she was a government spy. Doesn't that make you wonder who's watching your neighbourhood? And on that topical note, I shall leave you all next week and hopefully come up with a few more stories. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard, and we hope that you will, too. It is our deepest... colon hydrotherapy on living social deals. You know, there's only one thing better than colon hydrotherapy, and that's colon hydrotherapy with a discount. Do you want us to pull out the hose? That'll be extra. All right, what else have we got? Let's see. I've got that. Ooh, it's time for Tom. All right. Okay, we can get Tom going here. Yeah, and I think he has updates. And four stories. Yes, four of them.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. We have over 6,000 stories and are averaging 18.5 stories a week. Mick is the newest 100th monkey. Explorer is tied for the 87th place with Dondo Dollinger, Suri, Tommy, Paladin, Todd, Lightning, Minetta, Wilma, PJ, Dionysus, and Kelly. Julie is tied for the 79th place with Whiskey Day, Tara Lynn, Thomas Reed, Rick, Ted, Laura, Katarina from Vienna, and Dave X. Spate takes the 58th position, a mere two stories behind B. But the real story this week is Sing passes Planet Z to take the first place with 397 story units, a mere two shy of 100% participation. And once again, I have four stories. The first, I Spy. It was a time of spies. Even Bill Cosby got into the act. From the big screen to the little screen, the secret agent screamed modernity. Tales of the Old West had given way to globe-trotting assassins for crown and country. A generation before, bound by ethics and law, led directly to a generation of a new type of hero. Far removed from even the anti-heroes of the same decade, spy movies of the 60s were less about intelligence gathering and more about body count. Coupled with wave upon wave of sexual conquest, you get the perfect postmodern hero. Story 2, Spy versus Spy. "I want to be a spy," yelled Benny. "No, I want to be a spy," screamed Terry. Mother, wise in all matters of Halloween jurisprudence, said, "Ben, you get to be the white spy, and Terrence, you get to be the black spy." When Mother had finished their respective costumes, they looked just like the Mad Magazine comic strip. Through the night, they came up with increasingly convoluted schemes to rob each other of their candy, always executed in complete silence, till Benny detonated Terry's atomic pumpkin. The neighborhood outside the blast radius was designated a no-trick-or-treat zone. Story 3, Spy Guy. My first year in college, I met my first CIA operative, the most unassuming person you'd ever met, double major, math and science. He was all of 21 years old, hired in the wake of the weathermen. His sole job was to watch the student body, note any comments that didn't ring out Mom, Apple Pie, and the girl next door. I pointed out it wasn't very spy-like to tell me all about it. He laughed. "Unless I'm recruiting." Too bad I flunked out my freshman year. It would have been fun being a spy. And the last story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 27. When you're traveling on an airship, you got a lot of time to reflect. Without much effort, Doc Proctor drifted back to his days with the guerrillas on SETI Alpha 4. He had not set out to become a spy, but medical personnel often are overlooked by the lookers. His actions hadn't helped the guerrillas. They were pretty much doomed from the start. With the villagers in the high desert, he had done right by them. The globe below belonged to many of the people he had saved. He would continue keeping them safe, but it had a cost.
You know, the area outside my place was designated a no-trick-or-treat zone, but for other reasons. I won't discuss them here. I will just merely say, thank you, Tom. It would be cool to have a spy versus spy costume. Have two people dressed up like that and just wander around. I bet those, there are like people who do pantsless on the subway, and they do formal runs at the beach, and they do all kinds of stunts live. I can't remember. It's like Flash Mob something. I wonder if they've ever done that spy versus spy thing. They've done Ghostbusters in that library that was in the movie. I know that. Where people walk around with sheets over their heads and all that. That's clever. But if I were, you know, seriously at the library, trying to look up stuff for, let's say I'm unemployed and I need a job, yeah, that would kind of piss me off. Oh, wait, I should probably tell another story. No, instead, I will let Sing continue with Madam and Yogi. No boo-boo. Man, this coffee is good. For once. I thought about getting one of those Keurigs. We've had like 7 coffee makers over the years. We drink like, you know, 5 cups of coffee during the year. Which is why, if you get a Keurig, you get the individual cups. So you pay like $10 billion for the maker, and then like $5 a cup or something. It comes out to you getting screwed over. But you get all these wonderful flavors that you'll never get around to. I have them at work. They're really good. Although I'd get the decaf ones for the evening and just sip. And you know what? That's what caffeine-free Coke Zero and Jack Daniels is for, okay? Speaking of which, I need to get more Jack Daniels. While I go get more Jack Daniels on a Sunday, I need a brick. Here's Sing.
Oren, Madam, and the White Yogi. A verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. Chapter 22. In this installment, tension builds between Foreign Madam, Margot, and her work in the school, and the White Yogi and his supposed career in music. Slowly, the sun pulled down its orange blind as his slapping sandals hit the road of dust. The waves had comforted a churning mind to a small degree. He was resolved to trust the Krishna in the cards. The god of blue had come down from the cobalt sky to instruct the Arjun in him what to do. Back in their hut, he stood a moment, a spy in the darkness, seeing Margot there inside, quiet as Buddha, eyes closed upon the bed. How could he think so badly of his bride, who had sacrificed her daughters in his stead? School brooms, squat swirling, the dust devils of swept scraps and fallen hearts of people leaves crept across the compound. A phalanx imposed by Mr. Kumara's stick, whacking the little self-appointed sentry spy, aching Sufi waiting for his beloved, pointing, shouting into the distance, Deko, look! As children trailed Pied Piper Madam, sweet snake head of a column winding through sunburnt earth along the ridges where now capsicum kingdoms, eggplant outlands, yellow mustard seas were ploughed clods in sandy summer waiting for rain. Yogi with guitar in a vinyl case worn on his back, a doppelganger made up the rear. He did not think a no-talk night would walk into a no-talk day all the way from yesterday's fight. Given no time or place to play, the unzipped shadow, his guitar, stood to attention through the day in Madam's office. Like a rock star off the charts, at a loose end, she made him feel unpopular. He stalked about trying to blend, hanging about at the back of the class, an egret unable to pull and bend a worm from tree roots or kicked grass. He longed to find afternoon's end, knowing that they had reached an impasse. Madam, Yogi here. Now singing time? Today was sweaty from the beating sun. Lunch tiffins had been scrubbed with sand. Restless children fidgeted in rows, eyes and smiles, hoping to close textbooks. Yogi looked expectantly for a yes. Yogi cannot, she met his eyes, too busy. But Madam Chi, today Katai brought. Big people in the town want him later. That's right, any time you'll play, huh? I never said I'll leave the school, he countered, smarting at her slap. I like all this. I can play right now. School is over. No need now. The children will be leaving. His outcast senses became acute to noises like the flitter-flop of bulbuls up above, the flash of crest, red vents, white cheeks and eye, wing beats shifting branch to wavering branch, then clamp of claw, the authority of grasp breaking through camouflage of leaves on this avian plane above the human one. They sucked up nectar, insects, flower petals to feed their hatchlings crying in the nest while looking down on heads of chanting kids with number mania. Wasn't he like them, a whistler with a high perch on the tree? Why should he cease to be a singing bird? He held his anger all the way home to the hut. What was all that making me look so stupid? And yesterday at Bahai's, she volleyed back another. She made me feel like a child abandoner. Yogi was shocked. How can you say such a thing? And I don't like Bahai. He is sly and a cheater. You hardly know him. She paused before her answer. Go on then, you'll see. And turned away to the wall. Look, you can't just push me out like a lodger. But she favoured the wall to his face. Right now, it was over. He dreamed, a bow aiming the arrow. He is Arjuna, all night in the jungle, target practice in blindfold dark. Then Guru Dronacharya walks into his head to wake him. Brothers, cousins, still dreaming, it is morning. So glad you could get up from your fat feast last night. The river says splash your face, time for archery practice. Can you focus? Pull back. Take aim. Not here. Up there. What do you see, Duryodhana? Yudhisthira the wise, Bhima the strong, Nakula the loving, Sahadeva the pure. What do you see, my own Aswatthama, yawning brat of a son? They see the tree. They see the bird. They see the bow, they see the arrow, they see their hands and their guru. Wrong, 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 wrong. Aswatthama, you too, so wrong. Tell me, Arjuna, what do you see, best of the five Pandavas?
I spy a bird.
Describe.
I spy a bird.
Exactly.
Can't.
Why?
I spy just the eye, the eye.
Put down your bow, Arjuna. Come here, I bless you, but pledge. If we meet in war, Arjuna, pledge. You'll fight with me to win.
I will.
The dream instant replays until the lotus pink of dawn.
Wasn't that better than that live Sound of Music performance? I'm telling you, it sang. Thank you. That live Sound of Music was so bad, I think at some point the kids were texting the Luftwaffe calling in an airstrike. Oh my God. Ooh, man. They were lining up just to get to the trains to the camps. Oh, Lousy movie. Oh, sorry. What was that again? Oh, right. Maybe I should stop making fun of people in the movies, and instead, let's move on to Serendipity. Yeah, Serendipity. She's got a story. Let's hear it.
Long car journeys were always the worst. Not so much because of the journeys themselves, but mainly because my stepmother insisted on playing stupid games to keep us amused. After hours spent spotting yellow cars, we'd be forced into playing I Spy. I remember that last game with a certain pleasure. I spy, with my little eye, something beginning with R, she intoned. The answer was obviously road. And that's where her eyes should have been, rather than watching us. Which is why she didn't spy the tree branch heading straight towards the windscreen. We did, and ducked. She didn't.
Oh, so you're actually Mariska Hargitay? Okay, cool. I didn't know that. Sorry about your mom. That's an obscure reference. Let's see if anyone gets it. If you're the first to get that reference in the comments, you win something. I have no idea what, but you'll win something. Oh, thank you. Serendipity. It wasn't a tree branch. It was actually some sort of trailer truck. I'm not sure. I'll look it up later. I'm sure there's photos. Blech. Perhaps I should get my foot out of my mouth and instead say, it's time for Dora? It's Dora time? Wait, didn't I start the timer? Hold on. Yeah, the timer says 21 minutes. Okay, so I'm still counting down the time for the laundry. I've still got plenty of coffee. What coffee are you drinking? Oh my god. Ooh, need more Baileys. I'm going to go get some more Baileys while you listen to Tora. The best thing to do, to listen to, while going, getting more Baileys.
The Ministry of Intelligence contacted me while preparing for the trade delegation. Just keep your eyes and ears open, said the anonymous-looking man, and we'll talk when you get back. I was arrested the moment I got off the plane. We'll tell you what to tell them, they said, or we can just shoot you as a spy. When I got back, my handler greeted me by saying, recruited you, did they? Good. Now, here's what we want you to tell them. You don't need a spy, I told them. You need to get on the phone to each other.
Hey, everybody. That was a good one. I like that one. I did. And when I say I like that one, I mean it. Man, I've been going through... Okay, so I saw someone mention the numberless clock on elmandcedar.com. And I'd have gotten that by now if it weren't for the fact that it was only 30 centimeters by 30 centimeters. I want one that's 30 feet by 30 feet made out of black marble. That would be cool. But I've updated my Amazon wish list because I saw that the LGI Dynamic Contemporary Moving Gear Wall Clock, silver and red. I'm buying that for myself. Don't touch it. No, that one's like, you know, cheap compared to the simple gear clock that I got was like 99 from Signals, although it was, you know, half off, so it was like 50. But this one's improved, and it has more gears. Yee! So, yeah, I'm going to get it for myself. I've got like a bunch of Amazon credit that I'm sitting on, so it's like, all right. Plus, I've got that Amazon credit card that gives you 2% back, but then Discover gives you 5% back on online. It's like, what the... I don't understand. You know what? Send me your Amazon wish lists. That's right. Send them to me. And I will pick a name out of a hat. This hat, right here. This hat. This hat that you can't hear. I need a hat that you can hear. Okay. Remember the photo, the old photo of Frisky wearing a hat, a black hat? That's the hat. It'll have to be small slips of paper. So, don't put like a Miata Roadster on there, though. Can you buy those on Amazon? How the hell do they ship them? So anyway, That's for people who are listening to the podcast. So you know the email address. Email them to me. If you put them within the comments, I'll be like, well, you can put it within the comments. Although it may get caught by the spam filter, which I never check in the comments. So, but that way others could get gifts. Maybe we should make it a challenge 1 week. We do some sort of secret Santa thing. It's so secret that Santa never shows up. It could be Secret Ninja, where someone secretly shows up and chops your head off. No, wait, that just, never mind. Okay, so who's next? Zachman? Okay, we'll go with him. So if you've survived this far, you know about the thing for whatever. That's going to be my gift to the whatever. And you're not allowed to talk about it. Just like Fight Club.
Doctor, I feel like everyone is watching me. Grandma told me to be good. Santa is watching. The DJ on the All Request station said, "We're always listening to you." Now I have been told Tom is shadowing me. I think the government and corporations are watching my web searches. Don't worry. Hypnosis might help you. Watch my lovely pocket watch swing on its chain. Corporations are not spying on you. The NSA doesn't care about your Thai cat house web search. When you come out of your trance, you will have no memory of doing market research surveys.
Wait, no memory of what? Huh? Did you say something? Thank you, Zach, man. I'm just looking at my bank balance to see if I can actually afford a massive, crazy spending spree. But it's Christmas. You don't care if you can afford it. You just do it. You just do it. And then later you go, oh God, did I spend all that? That's what holiday bonuses are for. If you keep your job. Even though I do have some sort of job security, you never trust it. You know, you can enjoy the people that you work with and all that, but at any moment they could change direction if you're not working for yourself, and then they decide we're going to make hats. And if you look on your resume, you won't see haberdasher. I don't think any of you are a haberdasher. Are you? If you are, email me. So that was Zachman. Now we're moving on to Spate. As in a spate of madness, which I frequently go through. Here's Spate. Not Spite, Spate.
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called 2013. And here it is. I've been watching you. Tracking your movements, listening to your phone calls, analyzing your forays onto the internet. No probable cause, no warrant, no judicial oversight. I act alone. You complain? You have no one to blame but yourself. You stuck your head in the snow, then refused to believe. Now you are stuck with your own reality. There are no secrets. I know everything that you have done. You've been bad, and now your night of reckoning has come. Yes, your foremost fear is here. Nothing but a lump of coal for your stocking this year. Ho, ho, ho.
No, swing it around here, and whew. Thank you, Spate. Oh, man, I forgot that the microphone was swung up all the way high. I just did an Amazon order, and it was all on points. I have yet to take advantage of the 5% cashback by Discover for online shopping. It's crazy! I have, but I keep getting these points and stuff. Oh, Maybe I should just go ahead and buy that $2,500 Asus laptop. No, no, I'm resisting. I'm resisting. I don't need it. Crazy. Although I could get the mic stand and the that Audio-Technica cardioid dynamic microphone that somebody told me about. What's that space? What are you grabbing my butt for? Goofy cat. How about I just play Norval Joe and here, I already got my laundry out. It's all folded. I need to hang it up and put it away. But first, here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 399 with a prompt of Spy. I'm back using my Audio-Technica, a studio condenser mic. That I don't know if I'm using it right or not, but I'm back to using that, and so here's my story. Here you go, young man. An ancient volunteer offered a map of the Los Angeles Zoo. Yurgi Sprokdokovich of the Burgoslavigan Mafia took it and wandered the walkways between animal exhibits in search of his contact from the Women's Trade Federation. She would be wearing bright red lipstick, a silk scarf, and a baseball hat. Esmeralda Flinch waited in the primate exhibit. "Do you speak French?" he asked. "Only Japanese," she said. "It's not my day," he added. Esmeralda gave Yurgi a photo of Flypaper Boy and said, "Please, kill him." Unfortunately for them, the monkey was a spy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. The minky is a spy. The minky was a spy. The minky is a spy. The minky is a spy.
No, no, don't kill Flypaper Boy. He's my hero. He's everybody's hero. I'm going to get some flypaper right now, Norval Joe. I thank you, and I write a thank you note on flypaper. But still, don't kill him. With that said, we should move on to Justin.
Meow, space turtle. Justin's sick today, so I'm reading his story for him. When I got this job as a security guard, I really never expected to have some guy drop from a rafter and knock me senseless. I was minding my own business. Well, I guess the business of where I worked, doing patrols. And then wham, I'm out cold. Some spy was in the place, and in an effort to not get caught, he incapacitated every single guard in the place. I blame the company I work for. Turns out that they're doing some shady things, and this spy was here to investigate. Sure, I'm glad I'm still breathing, though. Wah, wah, wah.
Thank you, Justin. And Norval Joe again, who's going to kill Flypaper Boy. Don't you dare. That spy will stop you. You cruel and sick. Oh, wait, I shouldn't be doing that. Thank you, Norval Joe and Justin. Next up, it's Cliff, who I would have expected to threaten Flypaper Boy, but no, it was Norval Joe. Okay, so I've had too much coffee. What do you expect? Here's Cliff, and, you know, the stuff he does.
People always think that being a spy is an exciting and glamorous job. That is not how it works. I go to boring meetings with boring people and file reports that never get read. I eat a sandwich at lunch and drink more bad coffee than I care to remember. The only covert op that I've been involved in this year was Marjorie's surprise birthday party, and I really think she suspected. Basically, I think an insurance salesman has a more exciting job. You might ask why I stay? Well, the money's good, and I occasionally get to kill someone.
You, sir, are what the holidays are all about. Yes, the holidays. Those holidays. Those delicious holidays. Holidays. Whew, thank you, Cliff. All right, so more? Okay, you want more? You'll get more. My God, this may come in under an hour for once. Whew, I've driven enough people away. Yay! Here's Danny.
Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer here, with Weekly Challenge 399, Spy. Conversations of intelligence result in nothing but the pile of crap we accept as the spy game. I was sitting in a movie theater when an Iranian spy whispered in my ear. Unfortunately, this was an IMAX film we were watching, and I couldn't hear her over the intermittent loud guns and music, followed by the incoherent mumbling of the dialogue by the actors in the film. Sure, this is much like my real life, incoherent mumbling followed by loud blasts of intermittent music and gunfire, without a female Dick Cheney still attempting to whisper in my ear, of course. And you can catch all of my stories at DannyDwyer@WordPress.com. Have a great day.
Thank you, Danny, for shining a light on that horrible, horrible, horrible situation. Maybe one day it will be solved. You know, there are people that are grumbling and growling about that thing that you posted for last week's thing. You gotta check out the comments. They're out there somewhere. I think they're on Google Plus or somewhere. No one ever puts comments in the damn site. You know where people can see them? No, no, no. They got to be on the Facebooks. They got to be on the this. I should just post things with comments disabled and a note that says, go to the comments on the site where people will see them and can... Ooh, that looks like some nice teardrops. I should probably get those. Okay, I'm going to favorite that and favorite that and favorite that. Yes, I'm stuck on Flickr where you can favorite photos. Ooh, that's a nice one, a tinny. She's going boop right on Gina's little chin. There, yeah, happy cat. Okay, speaking of that, maybe we should just get on to Planet Z. So, you ready? Okay, here we go. Let's do Planet Z.
You would think that a talking rasp would have a raspy voice, but the director of The Magical Toolbox hired a well-known sexpot bubble blonde actress to voice the rasp. The hammer was going to be voiced by an actor who's a well-known drunk, but the network didn't think that it was a good idea to have a drunk character on a kid cartoon. Maybe he has permanent brain damage, said the director. He's always getting his head beaten against things. They went with a famous Mexican-American voice actor who did a lot of drug movies. He screamed, "Stop!" a lot.
And there you have it. A bunch of stories about the topic, spy. Where was the spy in that last one? Maybe you should take a look at the show notes at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com and do a search for the word spy. You'll find it. Oh, man. Not many left for the rest of the year. However, they're gonna be good ones. The 400th weekly challenge comes up next week, and the topic is anything but Christmas. Thank you all for being a part of the weekly challenge. Whether you write, record, send, comment. Oh, wait, no one ever does. Tweet, plurk, Pinterest, whatever. Sharing the goodness, even with the... We can just scrape off the badness. I'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.